Well, hello there. This is Jim, the Keys bartender, coming to you from a beautiful Key Largo. It's partly cloudy. It's a Saturday, one of my days off. I'm not talking about myself. I'm going to be talking about the, well, we normally talk about Keys life or life in general. I'm going to combine that. And it's not going to be so much about bartending. It's going to be specifically about living in a tourist destination and experience it. I'm going to be directing it mainly to people that live in tourist destinations. And if you live in a tourist destination, you know about your peak seasons. And every year, this time of year, we have people that have taken umbrage, they have complaints about the volume of people, the quality of people that are here, about having to deal with longer waits, not being able to eat in a timely manner, having to leave earlier for whatever destination that they're going to. And specifically because we're in the Keys and the Keys are connected by a highway, and people don't access our islands mainly by air travel. They do it more often going down to Key West. But because we are connected to the mainland by a highway, we have a constant influx of traffic or outflow of traffic. It's not dictated by boats or air traffic. So most of our traffic comes in by vehicles. And we have two access. So we have that one main road, and that's the first thing people complain about because of the volume. And there's nothing you can do about it. And the way the Keys were developed, the amount of rental properties that we have, the amount of hotels and residences, vacation rentals, it's just over the years, we've had seen a, I hesitate to say I'd have to say it's exponential from what I hear about 50, 60 years ago till today. And you can see it through the numbers of people that live down here and the number of rental properties and resorts that are down here. So there hasn't been really a increase of roadways in the Upper Keys for the first 30 miles. We have four lanes of road, but once you get south of there, it goes down to two lanes. And in every major township, Marathon and then Key West, it may go back to four lanes, but it's mainly two for most of the Keys. It's two lanes and two lanes in and out one way, and another way further north, another two lanes. So during the peak season, you're going to be during the peak times, whatever rush hour is at the end of the weekend or not, there is just going to be a heavy influx and outflow of people. And we get a lot of questions and people say, how long does it take to get to an airport and stuff like that? You just have to be prepared to be delayed. So you're going to have to give yourself extra time. Now, the biggest thing I find out is people aren't able to square the circle of their displeasure with the volume of people down here during the peak times. And it's interfering with their lifestyle. People are saying, well, there's so many people down here, there's so much traffic. Why do I have to wait? It's harder to get reservations. Locals, and this was just aired on social media today. Unfortunately, during the holidays, one person wrote, the locals can't enjoy the Keys. Well, whether you were born in the Keys or whether you moved to the Keys, you were born into, unless I guess you're over 100 years old, you were born into a tourist destination. And like any tourist destination, people like to come down. So that's accidentally born. Now, if you moved here for a specific reason, because you thought it was paradise. You thought it was great. I wanted to be there. And guess what? There's a lot of other people that want to be here also. So you have to contend with that. So unless you're independently wealthy where you can own your own island, or you're able to circumvent the normal means of ingress and egress by like helicopter or your own plane to a private airport or a seaplane or a boat, you're going to have to contend with that increase. And being angry at it doesn't make any sense. Now, the people that really don't have a affinity for what their feelings are about it is people that directly profit from the volume. So indirectly, if you're in the building industry or realty business, you cannot say anything because you're buying and selling properties. A lot of the properties are vacation rentals. And vacation rentals for who? For people. And what do more people want? They want food. They want to go to restaurants. They want to go to music venues. They want to be on the water. They're going to be on the highway. It's going to be more value. So all the profit that you intend to make from building homes and vacation homes are directly attributable to the popularity of the keys here. So why would you complain about that? The more volume, the higher the price is going to be, the higher the return. In peak, you make your bank during season. Restaurateurs, salon owners, Uber drivers, taxi drivers, pizza delivery men. I'm missing people. Bartenders, servers, gift shop owners, retail workers. You're paid more money to work down here. And yes, it's very expensive down here, but if there's a economist or a economic function, a math function that you can employ to say, if the cost of living is too high for what you can make, then because we are a free society, you have to move someplace else if you can't make enough to make down here. Now, that's sad. That is a sad thing, I understand. But I can't live in Manhattan. I'd like to live in Manhattan in the way I would like to. I just really can't afford it unless I took a job that made it affordable. And unfortunately, I'm able to do that with my skill set and my education. And I think I could do that. I do that down here. And people say, well, you can't afford to live here. You can't afford to raise your children here. And say, well, if you're complaining about the amount of people down here, why would you live down here? Why would you live down here? It's not a place for that. It sounds like I'm an elitist, don't I? I'm not. I'm a progressive. But this is pure capitalism down here. Think about going to a concert. Let's pick the most popular artist in currently, Taylor Swift. Tickets go anywhere from, I'm going to go low, I don't know exactly what the tickets go for, around $2,000 for a ticket. Now, if you choose to be a fan of Taylor Swift and you got to go to see Taylor Swift, you're going to have to pay $2,000 to go and see her. But if you want to go and see someone who sings songs similar to Taylor Swift, but isn't Taylor Swift, and isn't quite as good and doesn't put on production as Taylor Swift, doesn't sing their own songs they write, but sings songs similar to songs she writes, or even covers her songs. You could probably go to a bar where there's a young woman who plays her own guitar and sings a song similar. It may not be as good. It may not be the same production quality. I'm sure it won't be the same production quality. But you don't have to pay $2,000. That's your choice. It's your choice. It's just, I always had this thing. I don't think any professional athlete is worth $100 million a year for doing something they're skilled at. I don't believe that. But do they deserve that? Well, that's a perceived value, like a painting, a Jackson Pollock painting, right? It looks like a bunch of drippings on a canvas. And someone's willing to pay $125 million for it. I don't see $125 million on that canvas. But someone's willing to pay that. Same thing goes for a sports star, Messi, from the soccer player. Is he worth what he's paid? I don't know. He's perceived to be worth that way. Same as a diamond. Can a diamond be worth $50 million? If you look at it for anything it really does provide, it's not worth $50 million. But someone says it's $50 million. People accept that it's $50 million, $50 million. Same thing down here. A couple of years back during the COVID, they started charging astronomical prices for their overnight stays here. Places that used to be $150 to $200 went up to $700. And people were willing to pay that. They were willing to pay that. Fortunately, that's voluntary. You're not forced to come down to the Keys and pay that. I am not forced to stay in the Keys and pay higher rental fees and pay more for my groceries, pay more for my entertainment. I'm not forced. That's my choice. If I wanted to, I could move to some place in rural North Carolina where it's much more affordable. The prices are affordable, but unfortunately, the job opportunities are less there. The job opportunities that they usually go in line with demand. And if it's an expensive place, then they're paying more for it. It kind of evens out. So when we have a volume of people down here, and everyone seems to profit from it. Now, if you move down to the Keys, and this is the other part of it, you move down the Keys and you want to be more of a solitary life. You like having the supermarkets. You like having the choice of restaurants. You like having the other services such as masseuses, hair salons, barbershops, art studios, craftsmen that do painting, electricians. That's all tied to the amount of business down here that can support them. The less people, less businesses, the less profit, the less choices they are. It'd be very easy to make the Keys more solitary and wide open with the amount of highways they have. I'll tell you exactly. Get rid of 90% of the restaurants, 90% of the rental properties, maybe 90% of the hotels and motels. Get rid of all of them. Then you will see a direct decrease. And, you know, you have to have less, there'll be less camping sites, restrictions on having people at their house, which is a vacation rental property, you know, having people come to visit. Now, with the less places for people to stay, the less places for people to eat, eventually the supermarkets will close. The hairstylists will close. There'll be less drivers down here. There'll be less craftsmen down here. Yes, and your friends that worked in the industry and your favorite bartender and your favorite server, any place, they will disappear. You may have a couple restaurants here, and there'll be less good restaurants too, right? Because you always have this choice between in restaurants, if you think here. You got the basic fast food restaurants, the basic family-owned restaurants, and go up to the more elite fine dining restaurants. What they don't commensely drop universally, if you got rid of 90% of your property and you still had the same breakdown between the lower income housing, the higher income housing, you'd have the same breakdown. You'll have maybe one fast food restaurant, one family-owned budget restaurant, a couple breakfast places, a couple dinner places, and fewer and far between, less choices. You might be fine with that, but that's the only way to do it. So people keep on stacking their profitability by we're adding, they're thinking about adding another supermarket. Well, actually, they approved the restaurant, a supermarket, blah, a restaurant in Tavernier. We have a supermarket. Well, what's going on with me? So when I moved here 17 years ago, it seemed like they had adequate restaurant. I keep going restaurants and supermarkets. It must be a Freudian slip. But there was enough supermarkets down here, and it seemed to be enough because there were always empty cashier lanes at every place I went. There was always a couple of cashier. There was very few times that I went to a supermarket that all the cash registers were in operation. So that means there was excess capacity there. And all the supermarkets have to do is hire more people to restock to get them in. And once you get people going in and out of those supermarkets, that's the deal right there. Well, what they did recently, they've added more supermarkets. They added one about 20 miles south of here, even though they had enough. So that should have picked up the capacity. And then he made another supermarket up here that was already existing, moved to doubled the size of it. And that in itself should still be fine because we're in peak right now. And I was there on one of the peak days, and they did not have every lane open. And plus, they had about 10 self-serve lanes, and they weren't even occupied during the peak time. So there's capacity. And with that, they're still considering putting another supermarket here. I don't know how that would support the volume, would support all the restaurants, all the restaurants, all the supermarkets uniformly. So it's all about business. And I'm going to come back in the second half and talk about it a little more. So to beat this is Jim the Keys Bartender, to beat this dead horse a little more. Think about it. You know, the part I don't really understand is people that directly profit from the volume that as soon as they leave work or they're heading into work, they're sitting in traffic, cursing the traffic, and they don't see that the traffic is a reflection of their increase of their income. They don't see the relation right there. Okay, yeah, there's three times as much traffic on the road. Maybe there isn't a commensurate three times profit, but there's an increase in profit. And it should equalize the amount of time you have to wait. So if I have to go into work, it takes me about, I'll go into work about 45 minutes earlier. I am making more money in season, a lot more money. And that makes up for the time. So if I work, instead of working five shifts, I work four shifts. I end up making more money in four shifts. And I end up maybe waiting another hour and a half to 2 hours in profit and profit in time, which is profit to me. But I have to do less at my other jobs when my main job is so busy and I see all these people. When the I don't think servers or bartenders will look at a restaurant and say, you know, when there's a lot of people there, they'll look at it and say, damn it, this sucks. This place is always busy. No, there's more money. There's more money to be made. And that's for everyone. That is for everyone. I'm not a newly found person where I'm changing. I told you I'm a progressive. But everything we do to contribute to profitability down here in a tourist destination increases the likelihood we will have profitability in the future. And profitability is directly tied to volume. Unless you can figure a way, we'll just keep on raising prices and it won't affect volume. And I supposed or made a supposition several years ago that the increase in pricing in lodging in the Keys and a subsequent a little uptick in the prices for restaurants and bars was going to affect the amount of people to come down here. And it was, let's say, a commensurate, less slower growth. It kind of hung steady. During COVID, there was a huge uptick in volume in the Keys. And that was partially due to the restrictions on foreign travel. So people weren't going to tropical destinations. Where is there tropical destinations in the United States? We have Hawaii. We have the Keys. We have some of the island territories that we have, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. So we had that huge influx. And we also had foreigners who felt that the restrictions were a little too great in other countries. They came here too. So we saw that certain segments of our economy were making huge gains. And unfortunately, we don't have analysts or financial analysts to say, well, the reason why we had this increase was because of the restricted options in travel directed people or kind of, merged that volume of the travel dollar into the Keys. And we saw a commensurate growth in profits. And if we keep on doing it, we'll keep on seeing it, because financial analysts say, well, you can't keep on expanding your price, your profitability line, because eventually, when everything opens up, there's going to be more competition for the tourist dollars. Because when the cruises shut down and all that, now the cruises are opened up, the foreign destinations are opened up. The U.S. itself, you may disagree or not, believe it or not, the whole world was in an economic downturn due to COVID. America weathered relatively well, even with the inflation we had. Yes, with fuel prices, rent prices, housing prices, car prices, used car prices, those price pressures increased, but not as much in different places in the world. And because their economies are, let's say, floundering more, they're doing more to entice travel. And even though price increases may be incredible in a foreign destination, when your currency is stable and healthy, and you go to a place that is experiencing high inflation, a stable currency has more of a value in it. That's from my experience. And you know that. You'll know that firsthand when you go to a country such as Mexico or someplace in Eastern Europe or maybe Africa or Asia. You'll see that in a more stable economies of Japan and even the British pound years ago used to be like $2 per £1. And it got as low as like 1.1, almost on par with the dollar. The euro was about 25% to 30% higher than the dollar. And it's sometimes during this last couple of years, it's reached almost a par level, a dollar and a euro. So what happened here with a stable economy, our prices increasing, Americans being able to afford, yes, they can afford to come here, but they can extend their tourist dollars from going someplace else. So we have the similar amount of people to come down here, but there's a uptick in, let's say, people going to other foreign destinations. So we're not even seeing the increase that much. We have extra housing units, vacation units, and retail and hotel spaces. And we're fortunate that we didn't see a huge uptick. If we didn't have the same capacity where we were almost, it would feel as if we were 100% capacity 5 years ago in 2019, 2020. 5 to 4 years ago. It would feel as if we were at 100% capacity because there were a lot of people down here. And then they increased the stock of vacation rentals and resorts. And it's just as busy as it was before, but it didn't increase commensurate with the amount of housing stock that we had. So actually, people, it could have been much worse. And they could have, the highways and the roadways, we'd be seeing a significant increase in delays. So when you live down here and you look around, you say, well, let's say you're a plumber or a heating air conditioning guy, mainly air conditioning down here. There's a lot of heating air conditioning companies in the Keys. If there was a commensurate loss of rentals and vacation homes, there would be a drop in the requirements of having so many heating and air conditioning companies. And the rates of pay and remuneration would be lower. So it goes with anything. As a painter, as a contractor, as a mechanic, the less people, the less mechanics, the less vehicles to be fixed. People say, well, many mechanics work on vehicles that are by residents here. And say, well, vacationers do have cars that break down. They do have cars that break down and need new tires and service and need to be towed. And I'll pick a low one, 10% of their volume. Lose 10% of your business in 1 year. Lose 10% of your business in 1 year and see how that affects your bottom line. So I don't quite understand when people see that volume of people when they walk up to a restaurant and they see people waiting in line. And they say it's an hour and a half for a table. You should think of it as a good thing because you say, this is my favorite restaurant. If they weren't as crowded right then, what would they do in September and October when it's only 20% of capacity? Already at that time, it's hard for them to keep staff on hand because you have to bring people, you have to be lucky enough to have more people coming in to fill the roles when you have excess capacity. So you need more servers, you need more bartenders, you need more housekeeping, you need more pool cleaners. There's tons of pool companies down here. I see the trucks. There's people that take care, obviously there's residents that will pay for that anyway. But there are also hotels and resorts that hire pool companies. And then there's rental properties that happen to have pools. And that's kind of expensive, though. They have a rental property because you have to pay an additional homeowner's insurance. Or you should, in case there's any accident. So, yeah, there is a litany on social media. People say, did you see the traffic here? Did you see the traffic there? Or one person saying, the quote today is, I am coming down with my family over Easter. We did not realize, because Easter is a movable feast, it's never locked in to a calendar date, not like Christmas or New Year's or Halloween. It could be in late March, it could be mid-April. So they booked it without taking note. And their question was, is it busy during the holidays? And a lot of people saying, oh, yeah, it's busy during the holidays. It's tourist season and everyone's off and it's the middle of spring break and there's a lot of people down here. No shit. Right? Well, I give them a multi-tiered approach and say, listen, obviously you have a job and maybe a school schedule, if you're traveling with your family, that time fit with everyone's schedule, and you had to take it. Now, when you're coming down here, there's a lot of other people that have the same requirements of being down here. So you're going to be down here with a lot of people. You're going to have experience more wait times, this and that. Now, there's numerous things you could do. There's numerous things you can do to alleviate your crowded times. You could do, if you're going on a charter trip, you go and pick an earlier trip. You pick a day that's really light. If you're going out to dinner, you dine early or you dine late. If you don't want to wait, or you make early reservations. But there's no way around it. You're going to be waiting a little. It's crowded down here. But why get hung up over it? I lived in Philadelphia, and in Philadelphia in the summertime, South Jersey was the destination of choice for people in my neck of the woods that weren't going on a bigger vacation, if they were just going away for the weekend. And it was always Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday night, the bars would be filled. Saturday and Sunday morning, the restaurants, breakfast, and dinners on Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday. Because you'd have the people that be there all week, taking a whole week off. And then you have the people arriving, leaving work early, going. But you go to restaurants, and there's just lines of people out. And that's in almost any seaside resort, mountain town, where people head to for the weekend. And they're waiting in line. Now, if you don't want to wait in line, you can go to the shittiest restaurant. Because there'll be a shorter line. Or you can decide not to go on vacation. But you made that choice. And you should go in it with open eyes, but you should also go into it with less stress, thinking, well, I did choose this, and this is what we have to do. Let's just enjoy ourselves while we're here, while we're waiting in line. It's going to be crowded. If you're not comfortable with that, maybe it sounds harsh, but maybe you should just stay home. If you're not comfortable with crowds, you shouldn't go to locations that are busy. Common sense. Because the complaint is just you're paying premium prices to be here. You might as well enjoy it. And the best way to enjoy it is not to be concerned about it and to say, well, listen, this is when we're going to go. This is why we're going, because this is where our schedules worked. We didn't have another time. Or we made a mistake when we booked it. Just go ahead and enjoy it. And if you live down here and you don't like it, and the discomfort is more than the satisfaction you get from living down here, that's important. You have to evaluate it. If the discomfort is more than the satisfaction you got, you know, the associations with the people, the surroundings, where you live, your general mindset while you're down here, perhaps it's a time for you to move on. Because you shouldn't let it affect your mental health. If that bugs you so much, you should go someplace that's not so busy. And maybe, you know, that's the hard part. You got to find a place you're happy with that, you know, if you go to a place that's beautiful, there's a tendency of people to want to go and see that place too. And there's going to be a peak time for it. And it's for everyone. In the fall, it could be New England because of the leaves changing there. People going to bed and breakfast, something is just going to, it's just crowded that time of year. There's little winding roads where people are driving. There's going to be a lot of people on motorcycles, bicycles, and cars looking at the leaves changing. Same thing. If you're up in Philadelphia or New York, they're going to go down the Jersey Shore or Long Island on the West Coast, wherever they go in the West Coast. You know? So there it is. Why get upset about something that you directly profit from, or your friends profit from, or you made the choice to be there where a lot of people profit from it? Because you're fighting against the system. And there's never going to be a time, unless you decide to say, you know, what we need to have here is a bunch of things that keep people away, like natural disasters, maybe a civil war, a giant monster lizard like Godzilla killing people, or a tyrannical shark, super smart, genetically modified sharks that come out of the water and eat you. or super fast crocodiles that like spending time out of water, and go inland. That would keep the crowd down, or maybe even increase it and say, listen, we're going down to Key Largo to see that giant lizard that attacks airplanes and ships. Well, this is it for the Keys Bartender. I will be back on another day. Don't sweat it out. It is busy season, but there's a reason we're here. Bye.